of Esalam, Volume 5, page 150, Gladness. The Mishnah says, when Av enters, they do seldom the happiness. And when Adar enters, they do often the happiness. And if he has altercation with idol workers, he will be sentenced on Adar. We have to understand the matter of doing seldom and often the happiness. Happiness is a result of a reason which brings them the happiness. And there is no increasing or decreasing but in the reasons. So we have to know for what reason we should turn to bring us happiness. And certainly our sages who told us to increase happiness, they meant happiness in holiness. And according to that, we should look at what reason they told us to turn to, which would bring us happiness of holiness. Furthermore, we have to understand what they said. If he has altercation with idol workers, he will be judged on Adar. Because we are in Israel, and there are some cities where you will not find even one Gentile. And let us even say that even if you do find some Gentile, what negotiation do we have with him? And it seems to mean that the matter of judging the idol workers on Adar, it is a custom and not some coincidental thing. Meaning to say that if there's a rare case where Israel has negotiation with a Gentile, he should go and judge him on Adar. Therefore, we have to understand what kind of Gentile they mean that we have altercation with. We see that in our prayers, there are two ways. A prayer of praise and glory to the Lord, and B, a prayer of pleas and requests. And we see that they are two opposite things, because by nature, he who asks for someone, for something, for his friend to give it to him, then the extent of the request depends on the measure that he needs it. And if the thing he needs is something that touches his heart, And we see that they are two opposite things to one another, because by nature, he who asks of someone for something, for his friend to give it to him, then the measure of the request depends on the measure of his necessity for it. And if the thing he asks of his friend is something that touches his heart, and it is an essential thing, to the extent of the necessity of it, he makes efforts to do anything he can in order to attain what he needs. Thus it turns out that when a person prays to the Creator to answer his prayer, he needs to see that his prayer will be from the bottom of the heart, meaning that he will feel the need. And when he feels, and as he feels, to that extent his prayer can be genuine, meaning that his prayer will not be from the lip and out, but will be from the bottom of the heart. And in order for him to feel his need, he should see the truth, meaning that he sees that he has a great need for it, and it is an empty vessel with what concerns holiness, as far as holiness is concerned. And when he feels that he is worse than the whole world, then he can say that his prayer is a genuine prayer, because he feels that his need is greater than anyone else in the world, that there is no second to him, that he is second to none. And against that is the second aspect of our prayer, meaning singing and glorifying. We see that the order is in the world that the gratitude that we give to the giver of the favor to his friend, the measure of the gratitude is measured according to the measure of the favor that he got from his friend. For example, he who helps his friend with some small thing that he needed, then the gratitude is also a small gratitude, because we see that he who gives to the other some place to work when there are a lot of people unemployed, and he himself has been trying to find a job for several months, and he now owes a lot of money to the grocery store, and the grocery store has already told him that he must stop selling him food, and he's tired of looking for loans for to buy food. Suddenly he meets this person that he wants to take a loan from, and that person offers him a place to work with good conditions and tells him, why do you need to look for loans? I'll give you a place to work. And since I hear that you're a loyal person, and although I have a lot of workers, but I don't have a person who's loyal, so I'll pay you well, so that you can pay all your debts in a short time. So why not ask for a loan for me? If we picture for ourselves the gratitude of that person now, he doesn't even have to say thank you in his mouth, but his whole body thanks him. And it is, as it says, all my bones shall say. If we picture to a person who was imprisoned, and he was sentenced for life, and another person comes and gets him out for freedom, what gratitude would his limbs give him to that person who saved him? It turns out that if a person wants to praise the Lord, to be as all my bones will say, Lord, who is like unto thee, who delivered the poor from him that is too strong for him? Certainly a person should picture for himself how he is the happiest man on earth now, if he wants to give great praise to the Lord. Otherwise, if he still feels some needs that he wants God to help him, then the gratitude he gives cannot be as all my bones shall say. Therefore, we see in the order of the prayer two opposites from one end to the other. Therefore, we have a question. What can a person do when he sees how they are so far from one another? And we generally see the oppositeness in many things. First example, in the lights that shine in the vessels. We know that there's an opposite value between lights and vessels. That in the vessels, the greater vessels and the finer are shown first, meaning that first we have Keter and finally we have Malchut. In the lights, it is the opposite, that the little ones show first. First Malchut and finally Keter. We know that when we speak of vessels, we say that the order is Kachabzon Keter Chuma Bina Zeran Pi Nukva. And when we speak of the lights, we say that the order is Naran Chai. Second example, Baruch Sulam said, we see in the order of the work of God, oppositeness. On the one hand, our sages said, walk very humbly. On the other hand, they said, and his heart is high in the ways of the Lord. Meaning, if he really is humble before each and every one, then he will not be able to overcome those who mock him as he walks the path of God, because he subdues himself before anyone. But he needs to say, his heart is high in the ways of God, and he should be impressed with no one from what they tell him. As they tell him, this work that you've taken upon yourself, it is good for people with talents and courage who are used to overcoming obstacles that are born with good breeding, meaning that are used from childhood to work the work of God. Whereas you, it is enough for you if you become an important person, orthodox person. Meaning, look at the children, make sure your children become orthodox and work, then you will be an important person and you will get good grooms for your daughters. And you should start not when you're middle-aged. Now, when you're middle-aged, you want to start taking the path of the work, which leads to offer her name and not for yourself. Turn away from this path and don't want things that are above your degree.
And he has no advice but to admire them and to observe what our sages said. Don't be ashamed from those who mock you. We find that then he must go in the way of pride. And on the other hand, he should observe very, 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 very humbly. According to the rule, there are no two opposites in one subject. How can you observe two, both of them, in one man? And there are more examples of two opposites in the matter of working God. But can there be two opposites in one subject in two times, meaning one after the other? And the root of the things is, as it says in the intro to the Zohar, that he asks there, how can it be that from his holiness will become the matter of the impureness and the shells that is far away from his holiness as east to west? And he says there that the will to receive is the essence of the souls from their creation. This is impureness and shells. And this is because of the deformation, the change of form that separates them from his holiness. And to fix this separation that is on the vessel of the souls, His Holiness created all the worlds for them, and made the difference between two systems, that they are the four worlds, Abhiya, of holiness, and the four worlds, Abhiya, of impure, of the four impure worlds of Abhiya. And he imprinted the will to bestow in the system of the holy Abhiya, and removed the will to receive for himself, and put it in the system of the impure Abhiya. And he says there, how will these two things be, that they are be corrected, that they are in complete change of form from one another? This is why the reality of this corporal world was created, meaning a place where there can be a body and soul, and also a matter of correction and corruption. Because the body, which is the will to receive for himself, is drawn from its root in the thought of creation, and it goes through the system of the impure worlds, and is enslaved under this system until 13 years, and this is the time of corruption. And after that starts the time of correction, that it is after 13 years. And by observing Torah mitzvot, that he deals in Torah mitzvot in order to bestow contentment to his Creator, then he starts to purify the will to receive for himself that is imprinted in him, and turns it slowly to in order to bestow. We find that the creature, from his creation, is included in from two opposites, from vessels of receiving and from vessels of bestow, vessels of reception and vessels of bestow. They don't have a greater oppositeness from this. And these two opposites come in one subject, but one after the other. And it seems as if there is a middle line that includes both of them, meaning the will to receive and the will to bestow. And the middle line that includes both of them is while the will to receive is included in the will to bestow, which is called receiving in order to bestow. We find that in this middle line are the two forces, meaning reception and bestow together. And according to this, it comes out what we've asked. How can it be, in the work of man, a reality of perfection in the essence of perfection, and a need in the essence of lowness, of shallowness, in one subject? And the answer is that it can be in two times, meaning that man needs to divide the order of the work to two ways. One way will be in the way of the right, which is called perfection, because man, when he starts to turn, he needs to turn first to the right, which is called perfection, and afterward to turn to the left, because precisely on 2 feet can man walk, but on 1 foot he cannot even speak about walking. The matter of the right is called perfection, meaning when man comes to...
The matter of the right is called perfection, because when a person begins to turn, he should first turn to the right, called perfection, and afterwards turn to the left, because it is precisely on 2 legs that a person can walk. But on 1 leg, he cannot speak about walking. Right is called perfection, since when a person comes to take upon himself the work of God, the order is that he should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, as an ox to the burden, and as a donkey to the load. The matter of the ox means mocha, mind. And it says, the ox knoweth its owner, which means faith above reason. And the matter of the donkey means the heart, liba, called a donkey, or an ass. As it says, and an ass his master's crib, which means self-love. Therefore, when we say to work in order to bestow contentment to the Maker, he regards it as a load, and he always wants to cast it off his shoulders. But he always looks at what he has to eat from this work, meaning what pleasure his will to receive can get. And when he takes upon himself that work, he says, certainly I need to see it myself. Meaning, always check myself, if I'm not deceiving myself, by taking the right path, which is as it should be. Meaning, observe Torah mitzvot because of the commandment of the Lord, and not for any other reasons. But I observe the words of our sages and said, always should a person observe Torah mitzvot, even not for her name, because from not for her name, he will come to for her name. Therefore, why should I think about myself if I can observe Torah mitzvot with all the aims in the way that everything is in order to bestow? But it is a great virtue for me that God gave me a thought and a desire to observe anything in Torah mitzvot, because there is a rule that in an important thing we do not look at the quantity, But even if it is a small quantity, the quality is what matters. And even a small thing, it is important in quantity, in quality. And because of that, since Torah and Mitzvot is what the Creator gave us by Moses to observe, therefore to observe the commandment of God, it doesn't matter for me how much I can. But even if it is with the worst and lowest aims, finally I do it in the act, as much as my body allows me. And although I'm not qualified to overcoming all the desires of my body, still I'm happy that at least I have the strength to observe the commandment of God in some way, because I believe that everything comes by providence, meaning that God gave me a thought and a desire and the strength to observe Torah and Mitzvot, and I thank Him for that, because I see that not everyone had that privilege to observe the commandment of God. And he should say that he does not have the strength to evaluate the greatness and importance of observing the commandment of God even without any aim. We should resemble that to what we see, that if the child doesn't want to eat, that he takes no pleasure in eating, then his parents let him eat whether he likes it or not. And although the child takes no pleasure, but finally, even by coercion, it is also good for the child to have the ability to sustain himself and grow. Although it would certainly be better if the child wanted to eat by himself, meaning that he would take pleasure in the food. But even without pleasure, and completely by coercion, it is also beneficial for the child. We should also say in the work of God, although he observes Torah and Mitzvot in coercion, meaning that he forces upon himself to observe, and his body opposes anything holy, still an act that he performs does what it should do. Meaning, by that he can come to a situation where he will have a desire to observe. And then, all the acts that he performs do not go back empty-handed, but everything that he's done goes into holiness. And we can interpret that, as our sages said about the verse, will bring him to his desire. Our sages said, will bring him, teaches that he is forced. And he says, to his desire. How is that possible? He is forced until he says, I want. Meaning that it was hard for our sages, as it says, to his desire before the Lord. Meaning that all his actions, everything he does about bringing himself closer to the Lord, that act is not called an act if he doesn't want to do it in order to bestow, which is called to benefit the Creator. But that person is still unable to do things that will be for the Creator, meaning that his actions have no value, as though he has never done anything, because they are not to please the Creator yet. But it says, will bring him closer, meaning he teaches that he is forced, meaning even by coercion, meaning even if he doesn't want to do it in order to bestow, he is also called brought closer, because it is difficult, because he doesn't want to come close to the Creator. Therefore, the beginning of the verse contradicts its end. About that, they said, he is coerced until he says, I want. Meaning that it goes by the rule that our sages said, always will a person observe to honor to it, even not for her name. For from not for her name, he comes to for her name. Which means that by forcing himself, each and every time, although the body disagrees to working in order to bestow, and the reason is that when he sees no benefit for himself, he cannot do anything. But still, he does not look at the claims of the body, arguments of the body, and he tells his body, no, that even by coercion you do perform the commandment of God, and no resistance will help here. They say that the practical mitzvot also have the remedy of bringing a person to for her name, which means he is forced, meaning he forces himself, and hears no argument that the body wants to explain, but it tells him, finally he will come to for her name, which is the meaning of, until he says, I want. Meaning, that from not to, for her name, one comes to for her name, which is called, I want. Therefore, every time he remembers when he does some holy act, there immediately awakens in him a great joy at having been endowed with some contact with things that the Creator commanded him to do. And although he knows that everything he's done is not for her name, still there's no end to his happiness, since our sages promise us that from not for her name, one comes to for her name. And because our sages said, he who repents from love, his evils becomes virtues, and he who repents from fear, his evils become his mistakes. It turns out that when he is endowed with working for her name, then certainly all the mitzvot that he has done not for her name will enter holiness and will be as important as though he has done them for her name. It turns out that even when he is still observing not for her name, it is just as important as observing for her name for him, meaning that he calculates for himself that everything he does is certainly more important than evils, and they will be corrected for the better. And certainly each and every act that he performs, even the smallest, is considered a great mitzvah. As our sages said, be careful with a light mitzvah as with a serious mitzvah, for you do not know the reward of the mitzvot. And because of that, when he calculates for himself every action that he performs, whose mitzvot he observes, and also when he speaks some words of Torah, he tells himself, whose Torah am I studying? And when he makes a blessing, he thinks to himself, to whom am I speaking now? It turns out that he is in utter perfection then, and that perfection brings joy, because then he is clear to the Creator, because he assumes to himself that he is speaking to the Creator who is benevolent, and therefore he receives gladness from the root, that the root of all creatures is the Creator, who is called benevolent. And our sages said, good for him and beneficent to the last ones, meaning that then he can believe that the Creator does well with him, and he is also benevolent to everyone else, meaning that then he has the ability to believe above reason that it is truly so. Although, if he calculates with his external mind, he does not see that goodness and perfection yet. But now, by the calculation that he performs with his actions in time and thought, that he is temporarily cleaved in some way to the Creator, then he has the strength to believe above reason that it is really so. And therefore, truth will light his way. That from that comes that he thinks that he is now speaking to the Creator. And that brings him a great awakening of joy, as it says, honor and majesty are before him, strength and gladness are in his place. We have to understand about whom it is said that there is gladness in his place. Certainly all the names that we speak of is all from the perspective of the creatures, meaning how the creatures feel. But from the Creator himself, as sages said, there is no conception and thought in him whatsoever. But it is all about the creatures. Okay, we're going to stop in the middle of the article now, because it's a very long article, and Rav is going to interpret now, and we will finish this on Sunday. So you're welcome to join us on Sunday for the continuance. Rav's words. We live in a world, in an unchanging world. That is unchanging, yes. We feel like it is changing all the time, but in fact, it has not changed. Everything changes within us. The upper light is in complete rest and shines on the collective soul, which is either Malchut and Sof, or the soul of man, first man. And that light is in complete rest, meaning there's constant pressure on that vessel called soul. And that vessel, it makes a change and come to the end of its completion to the best situation that can even be described. That the Creator set as a good situation. And all the changes are not in the light, which presses constantly, but in the vessels, in the parts of it which change and improve and go through phases, and the inner impression of the light from the light, which constantly presses it, works on it, because that impression changes, the vessel thinks that the world is changing. The inner feeling of the vessel is called the world, or worlds, because we have five parts of the vessel, so we have five worlds. And from this, we should understand that all our sensations depend on how we relate to the upper light, which is in complete rest. If we want to change our sensation, our situation, we should change accordingly. The sages who have come to the good situation tell us they came to situations where they felt good, perfection, eternity. They said that to the extent that the vessel is in accordance with the light, it feels better. And they advise us how to come to that situation. The result is that we should, the result that we should come to is gladness, happiness. He writes about it in the introduction to the Buddhist Philo, that it is not enough to attain high degrees. It is not enough to attain the light, but we have to attain a Torah of life, that a person should feel that it gives him livelihood, meaning complete satisfaction in all his desires, in everything he finds in himself. In order to come to those changes, a person in this world, who is a part of this great vessel, and should change relating to that, then a person, should think how he will change himself to bring himself to the optimum accordance with the light and the best possible sensation. Because to begin with, he's taken this mission because he feels, what's the meaning of my life? He has no meaning to his life. And he's advised by our sages who have already come to receiving the light fully, at which time they're called Mikubalim. They advise him how to perform these corrections. And vis-a-vis this improvement that a person should do on himself, he has disturbances. They are divided to external and internal disturbances. The internal ones are his desires, that the nature of the will to receive wants, doesn't want to move, and if so, only to a clear pleasure, and then the will to receive is attracted to it by itself. But if the pleasure is concealed, the will to receive cannot move. That's how it's built. There's nothing you can do about it. So those disturbances are inner disturbances, and there are external disturbances. They are disturbances that come from the other parts of Malchut, the soul of the first man, which are dressed in bodies and are around that person who wants to come to the goal. And they tell him, you have to do things first, you have to observe Torah mitzvah, you have to learn this, you have to learn that. Do good things, right things, and then afterwards, maybe, in the opinion of the majority, affects a person, and it is also a disturbance, which makes it difficult for him to move. A person should learn how to overcome those two disturbances, internal and external as one, alike. And by overcoming those disturbances, he grows. They are the corrupted vessels. They are his corrupted vessels. Inner vessels, which tell him they don't want to move toward the goal. They don't see any benefit in the goal. And also the external vessels, which are the other souls. They're all his vessels, that he should collect them one by one to be included with them or to include them in himself, and thus advance. If he adds his vessel to that idea of attaining the purpose of creation and adds the vessels of all the worlds, it is called that he performs the corrections that he must and comes to a state where comes to the state of the end of correction. The end of correction of each and every one is when he, in his point of the soul, in the collective soul of the first man, has taken the whole of the first soul of the first man, as much as he can, and as he should take it and correct it, and has corrected it and filled it to the fullest, as much as he should. We should see those disturbances, both internal and external, as beneficial disturbances, beneficial for corrections. We should not erase them, but work with them effectively. That is why Rav Baruch writes here that there are two things here in our approach to what happens with us. On the one hand, his heart should be high in the ways of the Lord, and he should not be ashamed from those that mock. Baruch Hu said that he was envious of little children. At least twice a week I went to weddings with him. He would be invited, and I had to go with him. It was terrible. All those weddings, what could we do? Everyone was so important there. But the little children would be running between the legs. They care about nothing. They pushed and shoved. And he said, we have to be like those little children. And they don't care, because they don't care where they go, what they do. They have a purpose in their games. And that's it. That's how we should relate to all the great ones. If you want to advance in the work, and you have contact with the Creator, you have to take a direction from Him and to aim toward Him and not to anyone else's mind, because we do not want to be ordinary people, but we want to take the opinion of Torah, which is the opposite of ordinary people. So we should listen to no one, not to our internal or external disturbances, all kinds of tips, counsels, but only follow the point of the heart which pushes me precisely to the goal, and out of that point I clarify my purpose. So it is generally said that there is no coercion in the spirituality, and we must not surrender to any religion and any advice, any opinion and any advice. But I have to force myself, as it says, he's coerced until he says, I want.
And also the other half of the sentence, don't be ashamed from those who mock you, and so on. And so on. And walk very, very humbly. That man should be very humble. What is humble? That he has the point of the heart, and it draws him towards the spiritual path. And he should be with all his wills, and all his wills, and all his, even his bestial attributes. And this point of the heart is the upper rank that pulls him forward, upward. And in this he should be humble. And also towards the society that he is in, that he has chosen, that by it he will progress towards spirituality. That the opinion of the society of the greatness of the Creator, again in a very harsh and clarified way, a man must receive this opinion as his own. That is his only chance to attain the goal. man should strengthen himself according to the point. And according to society, the society says the Creator and his goal is greater than any other goals in the world. And man has all the conditions to go through all the way and to come to the goal. Any questions? I need society only for one thing, that it will supply the greatness of the Creator, because He is hidden, He is concealed. The Creator is concealed, and instead of in the place of that concealment, He put the society that I can strengthen by. If it was otherwise, then I would work straight from my vessels of reception with Him. It's like the thief runs in front of everyone and screams to catch the thief. Like the vulture receiver saying, I crave for the Creator, I observe mitzvot, I do whatever I need. Meaning I could never acknowledge that I would come out of the vulture receiver. Look at all the world. People are are trying very hard, but they can't. Because they don't have the point of Bina against the point of Malchut. They cannot determine that these situations that they're going through are... Therefore, instead of the Creator being hidden, He gave me the society, the power of society. And to the extent that of my work, they don't say to come out of myself, but to the extent of my work, of my effort, My willingness to receive society, the admirance of society, of the Creator. But they supply me this rumor that I have power to work for the Creator, even though He is concealed. We see this in our everyday life, how man works for very simplified goals that they don't have no basis, no reasonable basis, but still he works. I should surrender myself, subdue myself only according to this. I should submit myself towards society. I should feel society as great, as more important. I need to sell them and to give them and to buy from them my opinion that they will supply the importance of the Creator to me, and to buy from them this opinion. And there's a real binding, and this is all included in the importance of the Creator that I attain from the friends. All the laws and customs we should set only out of this goal. We should make like a pyramid that if there are all kinds of reasons, all kinds of means, vessels to come that can draw us nearer to attaining the importance of the Creator, then they should be more important. Then it seems as if our opinions are very different than other societies, let's say. And this is why the knowledge of Torah is not like the knowledge of the landlord, as they say. The goal sets. The goal is the most important. The point of the heart. We have something which is called a man in our world. Let's say this man over here, that instead of, that besides living, he also speaks with his own will to receive. And what is unique inside him is that he has a preparation for adhesion with the Creator to reveal the world that he is in. And he goes through this evolution to reveal the world that he is in. And this evolution, he goes through many incarnations. Then in each incarnation, he is smarter than the prior one, the previous one. He attains vessels and so on. Until he comes to a situation that he sees that this world has nothing in it. Such a feeling falls on man, sort of the desperation of this world. What is the meaning of our lives? This comes to people from, let's say, from heartache, from heartbreaks, or from let's say failures at work and so on. But this is the despair from not receiving a filling for the will in this world. Let's say a man is going inside business, and he wants to see, he wants to take pleasure in money, respect, control, and eventually, after all these tries, he comes to a situation that there's nothing to be satisfied here with. Something is missing here. He feels like as if he's cursed. He doesn't feel the meaning in his life. Something is missing. He can be successful in many things, but inside, he does it like externally, but inside something is dead. And this feeling, this emptiness in the heart, is a new will that doesn't have anything to do with this world, but a will that can be filled, fulfilled only if man will feel the upper world, or what we call light, or creator, or it doesn't important. It's not important what you will call it. But then this point starts to evolve, and it demands from man to change it, to progress it. Man goes through many incarnations until he finds a place where he can find a place where there are other people like him, who have the same opinion. That in that place, in that society, he finds a means that he can fulfill his will by. And then this point is evolved by working in the right, with the right, studying with the right people. Let's say a heart is something is like the egoism, and the point of the heart is something that comes from the upper worlds into the heart, and because it comes from the outside, it starts to disturb the heart, and then it causes man not to demand anything from this world. He neglects his work, his family, all kinds of things, because the point of the heart, it draws him to something else, something eternal. And he evolves and grows, and if he really puts in effort. Problem is that some people who live with these two forces, this world and the next world, with the heart and the point of the heart, and they agree to suffer and to... It's like there's a man that can come out of the situation, but he, out of desperation, he will not budge. You need to push him. You need society and books. Some people are lucky because they've received this special virtue and they can do it by themselves. But don't count on your luck to do this. What you can do is to add more forces, more powers from society, that they will push you forward. And when you are in good times, then you can push them forward. And by this, you can really come to the goal. Only in a way, though, that you use the power of the help from others. This is why you need to be in society, in a group. You need to be collaborated towards the goal. The point of the heart is the will. It's not a perception. It's not a mind, it's a will. It's an inner will. A part of the spiritual will. Of the will for spirituality. There are all kinds of names for this.